Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm Brittany with Softech's Women in Tech Group, and today we have Bridget Benson with us from Cal Poly's Electrical Engineering Department, and we're going to be learning about her and what she does, so welcome.
Good morning.
So first, can you just tell us about what you do?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I am a professor in electrical and computer engineering at Cal Poly, so I primarily teach undergraduate students. I teach in the areas of digital design, microprocessors, electric circuits, computer design, some programming, and I also supervise student projects, most of them in the area of embedded systems, and my favorite kinds of projects are when those are related to marine technology, as my background is in marine technology for my PhD work that I did.
That's a lot. That's a lot to do. About marine technology and marine science, can you talk to us a little bit about how these intersect? Are they similar? Are they different? Is technology merely the tool, or is there sort of more to it than that?
I would say marine technology and marine science intersect quite a bit. I would say the science drives the technology. Often a scientist might have a question like, oh, is ocean acidification really happening? Are the pH levels of our ocean increasing? Well, how are you going to find that out? You need some kind of sensor to go out and measure the pH of the ocean. And, well, the ocean's really, really vast. And so how are we going to get all that data? And so you need to design sensors and platforms to leave instruments in the water over long periods of time. And you use satellite imagery as well to capture large amounts of space over large periods of time, and so you need to develop all that technology just to answer that scientific question. And it could go the other way around as well. Oftentimes there's a field called biomimicry, where you can look into how animals survive and live in the ocean and develop technology that makes use of some of those traits. For example, a shark skin doesn't have any algae grow on it. And so if you put your instrument in the water, it can get covered in algae and barnacles and other stuff. So is there a way to then maybe redesign the materials you use for your technology that mimics shark skin so that it doesn't have that growth? So it kind of goes both ways. You can use the science to drive the technology and the technology to drive the science.
That's really, really interesting. So when you're talking about these sort of two different pieces, are you working collaboratively with a lot of different people and departments when people are doing these projects? Is there pretty broad, or is this a very niche community?
I would say marine technology is a very multidisciplinary field. When I was a graduate student, I worked with people from many different fields, biology, physics, engineering, even education and outreach types of people. Because you really need everyone to come together to study such a vast amount of space, the ocean, and with lots of different disciplines. I also co-developed a marine technology class at Cal Poly with a colleague in the sciences and then another engineer. And so again, that was some interdisciplinary work.
Awesome. So how did you get into tech? What was your path here? Was there a moment? Was this something you'd always been thinking about, or how did you get here?
In high school, I really liked fish. I just was fascinated by going to aquariums. And my parents took me to SeaWorld when I was a kid, and I loved manatees. And so I thought I would be a marine biologist. But then I never wanted to dissect anything. And so I couldn't even dissect a worm in high school. So I'm like, biology is probably not the right path. And so I also really liked math. And so I thought, oh, I'll be a math major. And my dad was a math major, and he said, don't be a math major. Why don't you apply it to something? And he said, why don't you try engineering? I said, I don't even know what engineering is. He's like, well, why don't you look at some course offerings for college. And so he handed me a college catalog. I opened it up, and it landed on computer engineering. And I looked at it. It had a lot of math. It had a lot of science. I was like, computers are useful. I don't know much about them, but they're everywhere, so might as well go learn about them. So I picked computer engineering to study for my undergraduate degree, and I just kind of stuck with it. And then I added on the marine technology side of things. I said, wait a minute, you can actually combine this? Which sounded really cool, because now I could at least combine that interest I had in marine life with technology. And so I kind of pursued that at my graduate studies.
Yeah, I think we get stuck in these like very binary roles of I'm going to study this and do this and be this. And it's really interesting to hear how people sort of combine those. So what do you wish you knew coming into your field? Like, your path maybe wasn't super direct, but it was fairly direct. So what do you wish you had known in high school or in college or in graduate school?
Yeah, like I said, I had no idea what engineering was when I was in high school. And so I think it would have been useful to be exposed to more types of career paths as a younger student, because even though you don't have to do what you studied in college, it does put you down a track in a way. And so I think it might have been useful just to know what other options are out there. Like, oh, you can combine marine science and math. Now, I didn't know that. I might have chosen to actually go in a program that offered ocean technology from the get-go had I known that. But, you know, I don't think I had to have known those things, because I feel my path has been just fine. But I think that is something that could be useful, is to expose younger people to a larger range of opportunities.
And what are you most proud of in your career? What is the thing that you've done or experienced that you've really been most proud of?
I guess I take a lot of pride in my teaching. I really enjoy teaching. I like that students like my teaching, and I get a lot of joy out of seeing students grow and learn, and then they graduate, and a couple years later they come back and visit and tell me what they're doing, and it's really cool for me to feel I had a small part in that. And so I do take a lot of pride. I take a lot of pride in that.
Are there a lot of women in your classes?
No. It's been very interesting. Over the past couple years, I've actually seen an increase. Started off with like one or two women, and now my class this quarter, I think, has 7 out of 30, which is like really big. However, that's just one of the classes, and the other class went the other way. I have 0 women in my other class. So it's still a field where we can see more women.
So what challenges do you face as a woman in the field?
You know, I've been asked this a lot, and I actually haven't faced many challenges in my path. I've been very supported. I haven't been discriminated against. I think the only thing that I can think of is when I was a student, you know, I was young and a little more insecure, being in a room with all males, especially coming from an all-girls high school. I wanted to blend in, so I, you know, subconsciously I was trying not to stand out and trying to be more like a guy. You know, I dressed like a guy, and I didn't really know I was doing that, but I think just subconsciously I wanted to fit in. And it didn't bother me or anything, but I didn't find it as a challenge, but that was just something that I noticed I did to try to blend in.
Yeah, I think there's this interesting dynamic of what we consciously know is happening and maybe what's a little more subconscious, or, you know, if I wonder how much the women in your classes are seeing that and feeling that same way, right? And I don't know if you have a good sense of if your students are feeling like progress is being made or not, if you have a good sense of that, or it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell, because it sometimes can be a very subconscious thing, and they don't even realize, you know, if they're feeling something or not. But I would say overall my classes are a very positive environment. I have not heard anybody talking about having an issue in my classes, or so I feel I've been very lucky, because I've heard other stories from people in other environments that have had more challenges, and so I feel very fortunate that I've been very supported, and it's been good for me.
Progress, right? If you had a superpower, what would it be?
I would definitely say flying. I'm a paraglider, And I really like to fly, but sometimes I have to stand on the ground and watch all the birds fly because they can handle more conditions than I can. And it's just quite a freeing feeling. Before I flew, I was a scuba diver, and it was a very similar feeling. You're kind of flying in the water. So it's just, I think that would be my power, that I could fly or even like be a penguin and fly in the water, because you can just kind of get this feeling of weightlessness and freedom.
So paragliding and scuba diving, what are your other hobbies?
I just really enjoy the outdoors. I like to say that first phase of my adult life in college, I kind of explored the land. I did a lot of mountaineering and backpacking and hiking. And then in graduate school, I explored the sea. You know, I worked as a dive master for 2 years, and I conducted surveys counting fish along the coast of California. And then now as a working professional, I'm exploring the sky.
Well, so, you've got it covered. Next space?
Maybe.
Well, thank you very much. Do you guys have any other questions for Bridget?
I'm curious as to like what projects you're working on right now, or like what have your favorite projects been that you've worked on in the past?
So the question was, what projects are you working on, or what projects have you worked on?
So the projects I'm working on are mostly supervising student projects. And a bunch of them that I've been more involved in are the ones related, as I mentioned, to the marine science side of things. And so I have a couple students working with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute. And one project right now is they're developing a Sea Star module. It's this underwater camera module. That's supposed to be open source and low cost, that scientists all over the world can use to attach to their ROVs or other instrumentation to take pictures underwater. And my student is developing a sensor module to go along with this camera module, so that way you could have temperature and salinity and other oceanic variable data to go along with the picture you take. So that way you can correlate what you're seeing with the conditions in the water. And so they're developing this platform to be able to do that. A lot of the other projects I work on sort of on my own are really kind of research of teaching or different teaching methods to come up with how do you better present a topic in the class, or how can you make use of technology in the classroom to better help the students learn. So I try lots of different platforms, like these online homework and YouTube platforms, and I've even done online teaching, and so just experimenting with a lot of different teaching methods and technology in the classroom are kind of my self projects that I do now. Yeah.
Other questions? Awesome. Bridget, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.